Let's pray.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all our hearts be now and always according to your will and guided by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're introducing what is our autumn series. So you have to imagine that summer's at an end rather than just beginning. It probably fills you with dismay, that thought. But we wanted to provide an introduction so as the whole church could know where we're heading from the autumn onwards. And the series is based on Ephesians 1, 1-3, chapters 1-3, and it's called Transformed Life. And for the first time, our sermon series will be linked with our home groups, with our children's work, with our youth work. So it's a whole church teaching series. It's a spiritual journey for every member of the church family. And our first teaching week, as such, after the introduction, will be on the 10th of September. And we're really putting this out there so as people might want to sign up or to join a home group. And if you'd like to do so, there are these Transformed Life cards at the back and at the side. And if you fill out the details there, well, then we'd love to allocate you to a home group. So as you wouldn't just be hearing sermons on Sunday, but then you'd have the follow-up teaching during the week as well. Over the 7 weeks of Transformed Life, we're going to be focusing on three critical life questions. Who am I? Where do I fit in? And what am I living for? And these questions concern our need to know our identity, where we belong, and our purpose. And they're vital for our whole existence and security. And it's so important that we are clear and secure about these things. If we're not, we can be a bit like the story of the ugly duckling. You maybe know that story, the story of the duckling who was teased early in life and then became something quite different. So, of course, there's a song based on that as well. So this is how the song puts the story. There once was an ugly duckling with feathers all stubby and brown. And all the other birds in so many words said, "Get out of town, get out, get out, get out of town." And he went with a quack and a waddle and a quack in a furry eiderdown. That poor little ugly duckling went wandering far and near. And at every place they said to his face, "Now get out of here, get out, get out, get out of here." And he went with a quack and a waddle and a quack and a very unhappy tear. All through the winter time, he hid himself away, ashamed to show his face, afraid of what others might say. All through the winter, in his lonely clump of wheat, till a flock of swans spied him there, and very soon agreed, "You're a very fine swan indeed." "Swan? Me, a swan? Go on, you're a swan. Take a look at yourself in the lake and you'll see." And he looked and he saw and he said, "It's me, I am a swan, wee. I'm not such an ugly duckling, no feathers all stubby and brown. For in fact, these birds in so many words said, the best in town, the best, the best, the best in town. Not a quack, not a quack, not a waddle or a quack, but a glee and a whistle and a snowy white back, and a head so noble and high. Say, who's an ugly duckling? Not I, not I." Well, it wasn't exactly Danny Kaye singing it, but you got the idea. We can sometimes feel a bit like the ugly duckling, confused about our identity or struggling to fit in and not knowing our life purpose. As a result, we can define ourselves by how others have treated us and allow their rejection or their unkindness to shape us, rather than being secure in our uniqueness. And it's so often that we miss out that we are uniquely made, uniquely loved by God. And Psalm 139 in the Message version puts it like this: "How you were made is amazing and wonderful. I praise you for that. What you have done is wonderful. I know that full well." And the psalmist capturing the praise to God of being uniquely made. God has made us. He loves us just as we are. We are his children, part of his family. And he has a plan to bless us through sending his Son to free us from sin and to live knowing God's love, peace, and grace in our lives. The wonder, price, and power of God's redeeming love is beautifully captured in the Wesleyan hymn, "And Can It Be?" And this is the first and the last verse. "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own." All of that being in Christ wonderfully captured in that hymn, "And Can It Be?" And too often we miss out on how much God values and prizes us, and instead we measure ourselves against the values imposed on us by the world. Perhaps our success or popularity, and we can get confused by defining our self-worth by looking at how much we earn or what we can afford or what clothes we wear or our job or our social status. And that's what happens if we try to define our identity, belonging, and purpose by looking in the wrong places. If we want to find the right answers to the questions of who am I, where do I fit in, and what am I living for, we must go to God. And why is this the case? Well, it's the case because he is our creator. He alone made us. He knows why we were born and knows why we were made. And the good news is that this loving creator has gone to great lengths to help us understand ourselves through the Bible. There are three key truths that we all need to realize about our design as human beings. And the first one is this: it is that we have been marvelously made. So every one of us here, you have been marvelously made. I want to illustrate by using this iPhone. And the iPhone, like an iPad or a computer, is amazingly complex and cleverly designed. We could say that it has been marvelously made. But it's not nearly as amazing as you and I. So just take the human body, the systems and the way they work together, the individual organisms such as the eye and the kidney and the brain, and how they all work together is far more wonderful than the most sophisticated of phones or computers. And that's just our physical body. Then think about our inner capacity, our capacity for reasoning and emotions and decision-makings, the ability to give and to receive love, to be joyful and to be creative. And all of this is due to the fact that we were specially designed as human beings to be the very crown of God's creation. If we look at Genesis 1, we read the following words: "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in the earth, fill the earth and subdue it. And so we should notice here and see something of our original identity, that we are made in the image of God, and how amazing that is. We are made to reflect something of the wonder of the Creator himself, and that is a glorious identity. Notice also that our place of original belonging was in human community, not just as individuals left alone or isolated, but we're called to be together, male and female, in community. And then notice the wonderfully high original purpose, that we are to be blessed and empowered by God, to be God's co-rulers and stewards, governing the rest of creation for his glory. So if that's the case, if we as human beings have been marvelously made with a glorious identity, with a secure place of belonging and a high purpose, why then do we struggle so much? Well, part of the reason is that, like the ugly duckling, we fail to realize how marvelously made we are. We very rarely think of ourselves in these terms, made in the image of God. But our problem as human beings goes much deeper. It's not just that we fail to appreciate our original design, but something has fundamentally gone wrong. We have not only been marvelously made, but the second truth is that we are fatally flawed. We are fatally flawed. So if I take this iPhone and imagine that I drop it and crack the screen and damage the hard drive, it still works, but only in a very dysfunctional way. It's still an iPhone, but it's fatally flawed. And something similar but worse has happened to humanity. Look at our lives. Look at the world around us. Even in the last few weeks, look at the world around us. And it's not hard to work out that something isn't working. Having been made in the image of their Creator, we see in Genesis 3 how human beings turned their back on God, and as a result, were separated from him and cut off from his life. And so it's hidden in shame. Our lives are hidden in shame, a bit like covering an iPhone with a black cover. The blackness of sin causes our lives to dysfunction. Our identity, belonging, and purpose get out of kilter with God's purpose. And the Bible presents a picture of the tragic consequences of this. Romans 3 and verse 23 in the New International Version. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which makes us utterly incapable of living the glorious lives that God wills for us. That's the version in the Message. So whether you're aware of the mess and the shame, or you feel that you're okay, all of us naturally live way below what God intended for us. We have suffered a serious dysfunction, though there are still aspects of our lives that dimly reflect our noble design. If there's anything good in you, it comes from the way God made you. But essentially, our true identity has been messed up. And since our security and identity comes from God, and we're no longer in the right relationship with him, we look for this in all the wrong places. The same is true with our need to belong and to have an ultimate purpose. If we look honestly at our lives, all of us have at some time wrestled, or perhaps are wrestling right now, with the symptoms of this dysfunction. Right now, we may be struggling concerning our identity, or you may feel a sense of shame at things you have done, or you may be beset by fears, including fears of what other people think of you. You may be unhappy with how you look, wishing you were someone else. You may be overly driven or constantly striving to prove yourself to others, or even more perhaps to yourself. You have the symptoms of not belonging. And you may even be in a group, but feel that you are on the outside. You may also have the symptoms of lack of ultimate purpose. You might have a job, maybe even a successful one, but still lack a sense of real significance. This week, BBC Northern Ireland put out a new television documentary about my childhood footballing hero, George Best. In it, George told how he felt after winning the greatest prize in club football, the European Cup with Manchester United. He said to his agent, "At the height of it all, in the shower, immediately after winning the European Cup final, I went on a downer because I may never, ever in my life experience this again." George felt the same as the phenomenally successful author Jack Higgins, who was once asked what he would like to have known as a boy. And his answer was that when you get to the top, there's nothing there. So where does that leave us? It leaves us in desperate need of rescue and restoration. Yes, we are fatally flawed, but the good news is that thirdly, we can be totally transformed. Well, if I take this iPhone, it can be covered in many different colours. And, I can even take a purple one and put it on it. A purple one is the colour of royalty, to represent Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And Jesus came from heaven to earth to model for us the transformed life. Then through his death on the cross, he came to pay the price for our disobedience. And through his resurrection and ascension, he came to give us his Spirit so that we can be transformed with his very life. That's why it's so important to be in Christ. It's important to know this, but this is not enough. To be a Christian means to receive Christ and to come into a relationship with him. I can take the iPhone out of this black case and remember that we used it to represent sin, and I can replace it. I can clothe it with a purple case. And there it is in its purple case. And Jesus comes to clothe us. He comes to fix our inner dysfunction. He mends our hard drive. He gives us a new, glorious, and transformed identity, a place to belong, and an ultimate purpose, even better than our original identity before things went wrong. When we become Christians, God does an immediate and amazing work in our lives. He wants us to be in Christ. And then there's an ongoing work. It's an amazing transformation. And as I and many others can testify, God doesn't leave us just at the point where we become Christians, but he wants us to grow. The first step to a transformed life is to become a Christian or to be in Christ. And if you haven't made that step or you're not sure, then at the end of this time of worship, I and Denise and maybe others that you know would love to help you to take that step. But that's just the beginning. It's possible to be in Christ but not really know it or live in the good of it. Hence, it's not enough to simply become, but God wants us to grow as Christians and to go on a journey to know who we are in Christ. And when we take these steps on the journey with Christ, then we'll discover what it means to live our lives as his followers. And that's the focus of this Transformed Life series. It provides a wonderful portrait as found in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapters 1 to 3, on how to live the transformed life. Paul's major focus is on that phrase, in Christ. And Ephesians 1, verse 11 in the Message translation puts it this way. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. And during the Transformed Life teaching series, we'll be exploring in some detail the implications for us of being in Christ, that we have a new identity, that we are now made brand new, we are made right with God, and that we have become children of God, holy and secure, and that in Christ we now have a new place to belong, in the family of God, in the people of God. And in Christ we have a new purpose, which is to love and to serve him for the rest of our lives. It is possible for this to be true, but for us to be unaware of it, for us to be confused or insecure or lacking in purpose. And in order to understand the transformation that Christ brings, we'll need to hear about it and to take it in and to apply it to our lives. Not just with our heads, but to know it in our hearts, to know it spiritually as the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. And that's why we're going on this journey over the autumn period of learning in 5 different ways to help us know or to start living the transformed life. The first way is in our Sunday teaching. We'll be looking at passages from Ephesians 1 to 3. So I encourage you to come ready to worship, to receive from God, and to gain fresh revelation from what the transformed life looks like. And secondly, as I've mentioned, in our home group learning. And I encourage people to join and to come to each group to learn together, spending time with each other, drawing close to God, and spending time discussing his word and the transformation that he offers to everyone. And there'll also be some time spent in prayer. And thirdly, we're going to give you a memory verse. And this is a way of getting the word of God into your life, which will greatly help you know the will of God for your life. So this week it would have been that verse, Ephesians 1 and verse 11, all about being in Christ. And fourthly, there's a daily devotional that can be purchased. It's a 50-day daily devotional, which takes a verse or a phrase of Ephesians, and this will help you to reflect and to apply the teaching to your lives. It's the Transformed Life book, Discovering Our Identity, Belonging, and Purpose, a daily devotional. And finally, action steps. We learn best by doing, so each week in church and in our groups, we will include an action step. So 5 phases: Sunday teaching, home group learning, weekly memory verse, daily devotional, and action steps. And I want to encourage everybody to commit to this journey and to these 5 ways in the Transformed Life teaching series. Just like the start maybe of a get fit regime, we need to commit in advance to diet, to exercise, to sticking to what we set out to do. And imagine if all of us in the cathedral took up these 5 steps. I believe it would result in spiritual growth and renewal. Maybe for the first time, the effect of this multi-layered teaching could affect the rest of our lives. Watch what God will do. Imagine all of us living the transformed life, secure and clear about our new identity and our glorious purpose in Christ by loving and serving him. And our action step this week is a very basic one: to ask ourselves right now, am I in Christ? Or is life more like this, covered by the darkness of sin? Or is it truly in Christ, covered by him, as our King, as the Lord over our life. God wants to start a glorious work of transformation. You might not be sure or perhaps feel that you've gone away from Jesus, but now is the time to recommit, to make a brand new start. And I'm going to finish with a prayer of commitment that may help all of us to know Jesus, but if you're praying it for the first time, well then please do speak to Denise or myself or another mature Christian whom you know. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for paying the cost for my sin so as I can receive a new life. I ask for your forgiveness for all my sinful thoughts, words, and actions. I ask you to receive me as a new believer or as someone recommitting to following you. I ask you to come into my life as my Lord and for you to totally transform my life. With your guidance, I will love and serve you for the rest of my life through Jesus Christ as my Lord. Amen.